Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am, starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he was back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours has squandered your property with prostitutes, come home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" May the Lord add a blessing to the reading this morning.
Logos and pictures, they're amazing things, aren't they? We can see a logo and all of a sudden we know what that then represents. The story goes that pictures tell a thousand words, don't they? How important is a picture to you? Maybe you're a picture person. Maybe you're the type of person that needs to be able to see it to understand it. You can't just have it described to you. Are there picture people here that need to be able to see it? Once you see it, it's all good. But don't describe it to me. Maybe you're an experienced type of person. You've got to do it to be able to understand it. Maybe you're the type of person that needs to pull it apart and hope beyond hope that it goes back together with all the pieces that you end up with no pieces at the other end. Is that you? That's not me. I always seem to have spares when I pull something apart. I'm pretty gifted at that. Oh, well, if it still works, we didn't need it in the first place. It was superfluous. You soon work out whether you need it. I wonder if these are famous enough that we know what they are. Straight away, we know that that's Nike, and we've seen it enough times to know that their slogan is "Just do it." It's good to hear that the sportsman in the room knows what Nike is. Well done, Jacko. I had to look it up. No, I didn't really. What about this one? It's a bit of a contrast to sport. I don't know about anyone else that has children in the room or has traveled with children, but there just seems to be something within kids where they can spot that sign from about 4 kilometres away. We don't even have to be, we've driven to, from here to Toowoomba. We haven't even got over the Minden Range. Maccas is coming at Gatton Dad. You cannot see that. You cannot see it, but they seem to just be attracted to it or drawn to it. Maccas. And somewhere along the way, they had this as their... is that current still? I'm loving it. I'm not. It actually makes me crook. What is it now? Okay. Yeah, yeah, I knew that. I didn't, really. There's other pictures that we have and other logos that seem to draw us together or divide us. This might be one of them. Ferrari. I was going to put up Ford and Holden, but that's Ferrari. Can't afford it is not their slogan. What about this one? Does this divide anything? Oh, let's hope that our data projector can get washed in the blood of the Lamb this morning. New South Wales Blues. Maybe this is one that brings us more together, right? There are pictures that seem to bring to us what is... Some of us actually don't care. Some of us are at the point of, when it comes to football, that's not their thing. God bless you. And that's okay. That's totally okay. I did want to put on their winner, but I didn't want to put it up there and ruin my what I was trying to say this morning. We're looking at another picture this morning. The picture of the prodigal son. And I wonder sometimes whether what we see in this picture and whether we actually think, oh, I know where I fit. I know where I fit for sure. And it's a famous picture from Scripture. The younger son is often where we think, oh, that's everyone else. Right? Well, that's never me. Ah, I'm safe. That's not me. That's someone else. Someone else goes and tells their dad that they want their inheritance. Someone else goes and tells their dad that they wish he was dead. Someone else thinks that the grass is greener on the other side. Someone else couldn't possibly be me. What I'd argue is that this picture tells us a number of things. This picture tells us all sorts of things. It's a monotonous. He lives this life of monotonous living. I'm going through the motions, doing the same things. It's got to be better over there. It's got to be better over there. It's got to be better over there. Oh, if only I could pine for something that could happen, might happen, did happen. Maybe we're pining for something that was, that actually doesn't exist anymore. The monotonous living made him ask for his inheritance. He pretty much went to his dad and said, I wish you were dead. Can you imagine being the father in that space and loving the son unconditionally and loving him with every fiber of your being, giving him everything? And then getting treated like that. Asking for his inheritance. He wanted to cut his ties with the family. Is that our picture? Or is that the picture that we sit comfortably in our chairs thinking, no, 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 that's someone else. I can think of 50 people that it is, but it's not me. Or maybe it's just me. I can easily think of plenty of people that is. But if I was really honest, friends, at the top of that list needs to be me. It needs to be me. There are plenty of times in my life where I think to myself, if I could just, if, then I would be happy. Like a transactional thing. If I could have that, then this would happen. Instead of embracing, if I keep my eyes on Jesus, then the things of earth will grow strangely dim. So, do you resonate with the younger son? Or maybe you're the father who wants so much to live a life that wants other people to be a part of it. Maybe you're wishing that there were people still in relationship with you. There are people still in relationship with the church family that aren't anymore. And you continually look out wanting so much for them. Maybe you're prepared, like the father, to break all social norms of the day and go running after your son when you see him come home. Jewish men don't run. They do not run, particularly old men. They don't run. The culture is that they walk, and the world continues to travel at their speed. They don't run for anything. But there's this, when Jesus shares this story and the father runs to his younger son, there's this sense in which we see the picture of the father that he pursues. He pursues his younger son no matter what he has said, no matter what he has done in the past, that he wants so much to be in relationship with him. He did the next thing that is so countercultural of the day and even for us today. He gave forgiveness. Forgiveness was his response. Well, I don't know about you, but we seem to be within society really good at creating lists of the reasons why someone is disqualified from something. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the next thing because of what you have done in the past. One of the things that I heard last Sunday night when we took the young people to God Sports Arena was they said these words: we don't care what you've done, we care where you're going, and we want to be going with you. We don't care what you've done, we care where you're going, and we want to be going with you. We want to do this journey with Jesus with you. Maybe you see yourself as the older brother. I'll just continue to be faithful. I will tick every single box that I need ticked. No matter what it costs, I will be the older brother. Maybe you want to be the older brother for that part, but no, I'm not the older brother that's got a bad attitude towards my younger brother. That's not me. I'm happy to just pick and choose the bits out of this that I like. That's how I do it. That helps me sleep at night. Don't we all do that at times? We pick and choose what bits make us comfortable, right? Well, maybe it's just me. By gee, I hope not. I was standing on my own at morning tea. You see, I think what we do is we look at this through Western eyes and we see this story in silos. The younger brother is one folder. The older brother is another folder, and the father is another folder. When the reality is, we have times in our lives when I would argue that we are all three. We are all three. We are the younger brother. We are the older brother. And there's this tension between hard work and having the blessing of the father. What the older brother doesn't realize is that he doesn't need to do anything to receive the blessing of the father. and neither do we. He gives it to us freely. That is his gift of grace. Now, that doesn't mean that this next week I need to be doing everything at church. We are all part of the family and we all need to be contributing our part. But there's this thing, there's this sense within us that if I work harder, if I do things better, if I wear the right things, if I say the right words, then I will get a bigger blessing from God. That's what the older brother thought. If I just do everything that Dad has asked me to do, then I will get the blessing. The blessing's coming anyway. Don't think that it's what we do, how well we do it. It's not anything about that. In fact, everything about the younger brother disqualified him. If you read that story right through those middle verses, everything that the younger brother did disqualified him from ever returning to the family. He didn't just eat unclean food, he ate with pigs, which were they're good. They're bacon, right? How good? But within Jewish culture, they are the worst of animals. They are the most unclean animals. I've often said to people, the reason that I am not a Jew is because of Jesus and bacon. And that's pretty well true. Bacon's amazing and Jesus is phenomenal. And what he does and what he's done in my life. But in Jewish culture, absolutely. It's not just hanging with the pigs, but he ate the pigs' food. Now, within Jewish culture, you need to stay clean. There are so many rules that you need to follow within the Levitical teaching that you must be clean to be right with God. And for you to accept an unclean person into a relationship with you means that you then become unclean. So here's the father running to an unclean person and loving him. Here's the father running to an unclean person and forgiving him. If we were first century hearers of that, if we were first century hearers, that would have hurt our head. Absolutely hurt our head. You mean pigs? That's who he was hanging out with? He ate with the pigs. Do you mean he told you that you were dead and you still loved him? You mean you wrapped your arms around somebody who probably hasn't had a bath for quite some time and you loved him? Is that what you mean? Well, that's exactly what Jesus was for us, the payment. Whilst we were still sinners, Scripture tells us, Christ died for us. Whilst we were still in the younger brother category, Christ died for us. So where do you see yourself this morning? Do you see yourself as the younger brother? Do you see yourself as the father? Or do you see yourself as the older brother? Or a bit from column A, bit from column B, bit from column C? Sometimes forgiveness hurts. Sometimes forgiveness hurts. To be able to say that I love you more than the hurt that I experienced hurts. Here's another logo. What does this mean to people within our community of faith? For some, it might mean home. For some, it might mean what? This morning, my prayer for each of us is that we would together be able to experience a God of hope. When the younger son came home, he experienced hope. He experienced a hope that was not his deservedly, but he got it anyway. He received forgiveness. He received a freedom. He received love. And these words from Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What does Fasfern Salvos mean? I think it means hope happens here. Hope happens here. Hope can be messy. Hope can be, I can find hope in the midst of being the younger brother, where I've done things in the past and I list them off in my mind every single day as to the reasons why I can't find worth and value. When I look at that list, I can't find worth and value. But when people engage with us, whether it's here, whether it's at our family store, whether it's in the office, whether it's just down the street here in Cowbar or Boona or Bow Desert or Ipswich or wherever we find ourselves, people will be able to walk away knowing that we forgive them, that we love them. And what does hope happens here mean? What do I mean by that? At Fast Salvos, we're honest about how we're traveling. That young son had to be able to say, actually, I'd be better off at home. I'd be better off at home with as a hired servant. He could have continued to say, yeah, things are going well. No matter how much you tell yourself the sky is pink, if it's not pink, it's not pink. We need to sometimes be honest about where we are before we can work out where we are going. I shared a few weeks ago that there are a number of times where we aren't honest. If we're not honest with where we put ourselves in a GPS, we will never get the right directions about where we are heading. So we need to be honest about where... That is so small and it is big on my computer. I've done it again. How good. We need to be honest with how we are traveling. We love people even when they don't deserve it. Can you think of anybody this morning that you've loved and loved and loved and loved and they continue to hurt you over and over again? We choose to see people for their future in Christ rather than where they've come from or what they've done or what they haven't done. When we talk about hope happens, we talk about choosing love. We talk about choosing grace. We talk about choosing to challenge people to embrace their God-given potential. That son came home and his dad did not give him what he deserved, but he gave him a robe and a ring and a fattened calf to celebrate. We partner with others in the iron sharpening iron process. We don't think that going through the motions will mean that will bring God's blessing. We will pursue God just as He pursues us. We are better together. When people ask you, what does hope look like? Hope's messy. Hope doesn't fit into a nice framed picture. Hope is different for everybody. When you look at that story for the younger son, hope looked like acceptance. For the father, hope looked like unity of the family back together. For the older son, hope was the realization that I don't have to do to get God's blessing. At Fasifern Salvos, I want to challenge each of us. Hope. happens here. As we continue to work together, that hope would happen here. That in the midst of someone's darkness, we may be the relationship they need to have the flicker of a candle of hope. We may be the new batteries for their torch in a blackout. We may speak a word of grace and love that they need. Let's join together and plant seeds of hope right across the valley. We don't have to do all the work. God's Spirit, like Paul says, Apollos, I planted Apollos water, but God makes it grow. Let's keep planting seeds of hope wherever we find ourselves, that people would know that we are hope givers, hope bringers, hope. We're possessors of hope. I'm not even sure possessor is a word, but it is now. We would be like I was last Sunday, dripping wet. When we were in the city last week, dripping wet. That if anyone brushed past me, they would have been wet too. It's that kind of wet. That when people brush past us and maybe even have just one brief interaction, that they would leave that interaction with some hope because of the conversations we've had, for the care that we've given, for the seeds that we've planted. So where do we see ourselves this morning? Do we see ourselves as the younger brother, where we've just got this big old list as to the reasons why we don't deserve God's love? Do we see ourselves as the older brother that I just need to keep doing because God will bless me soon? Or are we the father who is longing for someone to come home? Whoever that might be, may we see the opportunity. May we capture what it means to have hope for them. If you can, it's really small up there. But on that slide, it says the words, new life, anointed, faith, light, peace, king, teacher, father, light, love, joy, freedom. These are all words that capture who Jesus is for us. As we head through this week, may people know that if they're looking for hope, they can find hope. Because hope happens here. There are many reasons why hope maybe hasn't always happened in your interactions. There are many experiences where we've thought, oh, actually, no, it's not like I don't feel very hopeful at all. In fact, there are some times when I'm not sure I've got any seeds to plant because I'm not sure I've got much left. Well, this morning as we sing together, above all powers, above all thrones, we sing about a Christ who came, crucified, laid behind a stone to live and die, rejected and alone and like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me. Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And as we sing this morning, you could morph that scripture passage together with our story from this morning. Whilst we were still digging through the feed trough with the pigs, Christ told us to come home. Whilst we were still as broken and disqualified as we could possibly be, Christ said, come home. If that's not hope, friends, then I'm not sure what else.